Well, good morning, you guys. It's great to see you. What a privilege it is to be here together. It's the weirdest year in the history of our lives, right? Okay, so let's just call it like it is. I think this year, this week, I came to the realization that it's possible that this strangeness will continue for quite a bit of time. And I didn't really like that. And I've known that for a long time, but I've just kind of, it's starting to sink in, right? Like, what if this happened lasts for a year? And I thought, wow, I hate that thought. That's inappropriate. But it might last for a while. So even with all the changes that are happening in our school districts around, so Rockwood, which is our immediate school district here, has decided it's going to go totally online and it'll be remote learning. Somewhere down the road here, for all of you teachers, we're going to somehow acknowledge the incredible challenges that this is going to create for you. And we want to also, for the students, it's going to be kind of weird for them too, right? I mean, it's just going to be totally strange. So I've come to the conclusion that we are going to be forced either to just kind of whine for the next year or to say, you know what? We're going to have to get innovative. We're going to have to be flexible. We're going to have to be enthusiastic. We're going to have to be energetic. Because as Luke was saying, God has not changed one iota. And he is not surprised by this situation. And so he is in the midst of it. He has allowed it. And we're saying, what are you doing, God? And so we're going to engage that. So for this coming fall, I just want to give you a little bit of a highlight. We'll talk more about it at the town hall meetings, both tonight and tomorrow night, but also then at our business meeting in a couple of weeks. But we've really said we're going to need to focus on three things. One is connections, because this whole pandemic has really put people in isolation, right? I mean, it's forced people to be isolated. And we don't want to violate any health things or in any way, shape, or form, but somehow we need to help people be connected. Because I think we're seeing significant rises in the area of depression, in the area of anxiety, in the area of suicide in our culture. And not just anxiety and depression among older people, but among young people. And that is tragic. And we have to do something. So in the area of connection, we want to help people be connected in some way, shape, or form. Secondly, we're going to focus on evangelism. This is a great chance for us to announce hope to the world. If there's hope at all, then in Christ is it, then we want to be able to announce that, explain that, demonstrate that, live that out, introduce people to it. So, and that's really why we're doing this series called What and Why, is they give you some handles on to say, I have hope because, and we'll run through those even today. And the third thing that we want to do is we want to increase our level of ownership and even developing leadership here at Quest. Because we need more people to own this ministry. And it's easy sometimes for the staff to do it, but now it's not possible anymore for the staff to do it all. And we really want to up the level of ownership, your involvement, your connection, your own it, and developing leaders for the future. So that's what we're going to be doing this year. And I'm excited about it. Just so you know, that's coming down the pike. We've already got some ideas about how to supply connection for people. We're even thinking about building sort of an outdoor venue here that people could use as families or as groups or your BLT or your neighbors. We'd like to supply a place where you could bring your whole neighborhood, well, maybe not the whole neighborhood, but a bunch of people in your neighborhood, to come and utilize a fire pit and some places to be and a barbecue. And we're thinking that we got to do some things that allow people to come to a nice place. So, okay? All right, so that's where we're headed this fall. We'll talk more about it in the next few weeks. Hey, I just wanted to give a shout out to the people downstairs. So we have a camera in the back here, and we're piping this thing downstairs, and we have about a dozen of them down there. So I'd just like to give a shout out to them and say, hey, we're glad you're down there. And there's room for about another 30 down there, just so you know. So if you have neighbors that would like to come and it's a little more relaxed down there, you can say things and it feels less interruptive, right? So just so you know. So downstairs, good to see you. All right. Well, here we are on Sunday, August 9th, 2020. And we're in this series called What and Why, Answers That Are Grounded in Faith and Hope. And we really think that there has to be an answer for the hope that lives inside of us. In fact, it really comes out of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And if you don't got this by now, I've said this 100 times, but I also know that repetition is the mother of all learning, right? It really is. And so here's what it says there in verse 15. He says, but in your hearts, I want you to, Peter's telling them as people, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. That we understand that he is Messiah and he is holy. He is awesome in every way, shape, and form. That engaging the person of Christ is a life-changing experience. And it's not about church. It's not about being religious. It's not about being a moral person. It's about knowing Christ as holy in your life. And as a result of knowing him as holy in your life, it says, always being prepared to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. If you're a person of hope and you live that out, people will begin to wonder what's wrong with you. Tell me what's going on in you. And you'll be able to give them a reason. But it says to do this, look at this, let's box it. It says, yet do it with gentleness and respect. You guys, I think it's one in this coming few years. There, crisis always raises conflict, right? It always does. And I think we're seeing that increasing in our culture, that it raises conflict to a higher level. And you and I need to be able to give an answer for the hope that's in us if people ask. And we need to do it, though, with gentleness and respect. That is not a quality that I think is demonstrated in our culture right now very often from very many people. A gentleness and a respect. You know, even among Christians, even here, some people say, hey, they take kind of sides on issues, right? Whether it be the whole racial issue or even face coverings. Say, you know, take an extreme this way or that. Guess what? I'm going to respect whatever you think is best for you. I know what I think is best for me, but I'm going to decide what's best for you. You decide. And I'm going to respect that. And I'm going to be gentle about it. I'm not going to make a fight about what doesn't need to be a fight. And so that's how we're going to handle it. And then it goes on, and let's box this next section of verse 16. It says, having a good conscience. We don't talk about conscience very often. But he wants us to have a conscience that we can live with of what is right and be able to stand there in what is right. So that's where we've been. So let me just kind of catch you up. If you're here for the first time, let me just tell you where we've been in the last bunch of weeks. Why do you have hope? We asked the question, why do we have hope? Well, I have hope, first of all, because God is real. It really is real. There is so much evidence for the reality that there is a God rather than no God at all. And we talked about that for 1 week. Another week we talked about the fact that that real God is both infinite, all-powerful, and he's personal. He's connecting. He has a heart for you and for me. Third, we talked about the fact that not only that, but he's sovereign and he is providential. Those are nice big religious words. But sovereign means that he is all-powerful and all-able and has all authority. But he is also providential in that he guides, governs, and guards over his will and your will and mine as he works this thing out in this mysterious way that he's working out life. That's bigger and better than you can ever imagine. And we can't figure it out because it's bigger than us. But he is working out life. He is providential. So next we talked about the fact that God is the source of absolute truth. That there is such a thing as absolute truth. And he is the source of it. It's in him as who he is. Next, we talked about the fact that God gives us meaning and purpose for life. To love him and adore him and enjoy him forever and ever. And all that he created and to take care of it. Wow. Then we talked about the fact that God provides a solution to the basic problem of humanity. The basic problem of humanity is not exterior to us, but it is interior to us, to a heart that is rebelled against him. And he sent his son to be a solution for that. Wow. Then we talked about last week that God has dealt with both our temporal lives and our eternal destiny. Key question of life, where are you going? What's the destiny of your life? He has solved that in creating eternity in each one of us. And today what I'd like to talk about is the fact that I have hope because God is faithful. I have hope because God is faithful. Now, I don't know about you, but when I first thought of this, this is what we needed to talk about, I was like, well, yeah, cool. I can't wait to talk about it. That sounds like fun. And as the week went on, I thought, wow, is that just going to feel like, well, yeah, duh, God is faithful. It's a nice religious word. It's the way God's supposed to be. Okay, whatever. Let's move on. You know, not very exciting that God is faithful. And then I thought, no, man, it's got to be exciting. But it's got to be very applicable. So at the end of today, here's what I want to say. I want you to walk out those doors, or you can go out these if you want to, but I want you to walk out those doors. I want you to be able to say, I have hope. My hope quotient went up today because God is faithful. God is faithful. What's that mean, right? So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to define two terms first. And then I have a couple of passages. And just so you know, the Bible's so full of passages about God's faithfulness that I could never touch them all today. So I'm just going to touch on a few. But I want to define the terms, first of all, and this is the first one I want to talk about is the term hope. Okay, so if we're going to have hope, you can think, well, what is hope? And hope, biblical hope, is a little different than secular hope. Secular hope says, man, I hope it doesn't rain next week when we're going to go on our picnic. You know, it's just kind of like ooey-gooey hope, you know, but it has no substance to it. Biblical hope is very different than that. Biblical hope is this. It is an expectation. It is a trust. It is a strong confidence. And you think, wow, what's that mean? So go on. It could be said this way. An expectation or anticipation of what is sure or certain. We don't know that the weather next week is going to be certainly great to have a picnic, right? We don't know that. But are there certain things that we know that are certain that haven't happened yet that we put our hope in? For example, it says this, the for sure, but the not quite yet. It is putting our hope in that which is sure, but hasn't happened quite yet. That God has promised, and he is in the process of things. That which is sure, he's trustworthy, but it hasn't happened quite yet. We call that hope. So what we're going to talk about is that I have hope in the faithfulness of God. So let's talk about faithful for a second. Here's another term I want to put at the bottom there. It means trustworthy, reliable. It means present. To be faithful. And if God is going to be faithful, and the same thing for us, if we're going to be faithful, it means that we'll be trustworthy, reliable. We are present. Even the song we sang this morning, it says, to lean back into the arms of God. You'd only do that if you believe that he is faithful. If he's not there and present, you could throw yourself into the arms that actually aren't there. You just kind of look foolish and stupid and maybe hurt yourself by throwing yourselves backwards into the arms of God if he's not there, if he's not faithful, right? And so it sounds like this, to be consistent with and persuaded by what is true. If it's true, you hear faithful. It sounds like this. It is the now in light of the absolute. It's me, him being faithful because of his absoluteness, and that we can trust that because he is faithful. Therefore, let me just put in the middle here. We have hope because God is faithful. We have hope because he is faithful. Now, what's that? Let's just look at a couple of passages real quick. The idea is this, that he is faithful both to his character, to his word, and to his people. He is faithful. Today, we're going to talk mainly about it's his character who's faithful. Look at this in Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. This is a short psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. We don't know who wrote this one. This is not a Davidic psalm that we know of, but it's one of those really beautiful psalms, an Old Testament songbook, if you will. And he says this, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. That's a beautiful thought. Here's this God who made us, and we are his. Wow. You guys, this God must be so much more incredible than we've ever really gotten our arms around. He is the one who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. That means he's a shepherd. That means he's a shepherd who cares and loves and will die for the sheep. That's what shepherds do. They don't run when a wolf comes. They take on the wolf. They take their staff, and they go after the wolf to say, get out of here, because he defends the sheep. It says there in verse 4 then, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That's what we do with the shepherd who cares and loves for us and sacrifices for us. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Now look at this, verse 5. For why? Why would we do that? For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. You guys, I'd encourage you, go into the scriptures, especially the Old Testament. Almost always when his faithfulness is mentioned, it is accompanied by his steadfast love. It's the word hesed in Hebrew. It is one of the most powerful and incredible words, that his hesed love, his steadfast love, endures forever. There are passages that just go on, repeat it over and over again. His steadfast love endures forever. His hesed love for you, his sacrificial love for you. When he thinks of you, I don't know if you ever wonder, what does God think of you when he thinks of you? Like, well, yeah, Kevin. Yeah. You fill in the blank, right? Here's what he thinks. I have a hesed love for this person. I have an unshakable, sacrificial, undying love for you and for me. Hesed. It's amazing. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. Now look at this. And his faithfulness to all generations. His reliability. Right? We talked about it. It's a reliability, his trustworthiness. He is present in every generation. He is not freaked out by the craziness of our world. I don't know if you've noticed, but our world's a little crazy right now. You know what? And he is faithful to you and to me. Some of the things that you're going through, or some of you've been through some things, and you found him to be faithful. You're going through things right now, and you're wrestling. And there's going to be things in the future that you go through, and he will be faithful. And some of those things that you're going through right now, you're wondering, God, how's this going to work out? We're going to look at that in a second. But he is faithful to all generations. Let's go to a Davidic psalm. I think it's a really beautiful thought in Psalm 86. This is one that David wrote. And he says this, he says, incline your ear, O God, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. You guys, I don't know about you, but I think that expresses much of the feelings of the culture in which we live today. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. I mean, he's not saying, hey, I'm really slick and I'm, you know, the greatest thing ever. He's saying, I have a heart that's aimed towards you. We know that David is a man after God's own heart. He says, I want to be about what you're about, God. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. I know that there are some of you that almost all day are times where you say are crying out for the Lord. Because sometimes life is just that way. And you cry to him all day long. Verse 4, gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love. Hesed, here we are again, right? To all who call upon you. Look at verse 6. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Of all the gods that we try to make, he alone is really God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. I will glorify your name forever. Look at 13. For great is your steadfast hesed love towards me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol, from the hell that I go through. O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, now look at this, he wraps it up again, right? But you, O Lord, are a God of merciful, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger. And look here again, married together and abounding in steadfast hesed love and faithfulness. He is faithful to you. He is faithful to all generations, at every time, in every place, in every way. And yet we live in a broken world, don't we? We live in an incredibly broken place. So I'd like to use this as an illustration in Lamentations quickly here. You guys, this is written, we don't really know who wrote the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament. We suspect it was probably Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah the prophet, along with the others, had been shipped off to Babylon. And things were destroyed and destructive, and things, it was a bad time in the life of Israel. It's a bad time in the life of Jeremiah, the prophet. And he begins to lament over this. He begins to express the struggle. I don't know about you, but this whole situation in our culture seems to bring up a lamentingness at times in our hearts and our souls. And sometimes we try to run away from it and stuff it down and put it under the rug. And yet we're going to find here that Jeremiah the prophet expresses his feelings. He's like telling God what he thinks. He is struggling. But then at the end, he comes with the big but. We're going to circle our but at the end of this. That's what we do here at Quest. But listen to his heart, and maybe it'll connect with where you're at. Maybe some struggle that you have going in your life. In whatever way, shape, or form, it's being to say, this is where I'm at, this is what I'm struggling with. But God? So let's look at this, Lamentations chapter 3. I'm going to read quickly. He says, I am a man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He's speaking of God here. He understands God's sovereignty in all of this. That God has allowed this to happen. He is not the author of evil, but he uses the brokenness of our world in each one of our lives. And he says, I am a man who has seen affliction under the rod of God's wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He's made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. Have you ever felt that way? Does this feel like a guy who's headed for anxiety and depression? It does. Because life is really stinks. He's not enjoying it. It's hard. And he's saying, God, where are you? You've allowed this, and I feel like I'm dying. I feel so sad. Are there things in your life that feel sad? That feel painful, destructive, grievous? And you say, God, where are we? Where are you? You know, I don't want to bring attention to it, but I see the Khoury family over here. And they're here getting one of the sons into college and to see the other ones in college, and the others headed for Sudan. But Nabil and one of the other boys is still in Beirut. An incredible, incredible pain and destruction and death of the third largest man-made explosion in the history of the world just happened in Beirut. After Nagasaki and Hiroshima, this is the largest human explosion in history. And that whole city, that whole country is struggling. Beginning to say, you made me dwell in the darkness of the dead of long ago. Wow. Verse 7. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. I don't know how to get out of this. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer, it feels like, at least. He has blocked my ways and blocks my stone in blocks of stones. I can't get out of this fortress. He has made my paths crooked. He is a bear lying in wait for me. I'm out there in the field, and there's a bear that wants to eat me. And look at this, and there's even a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all the people, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He's sated me with wormwood, which is a bitter herb. He has made my teeth grind on gravel. Wow, how expressive of the difficulty of life. He's made me cover in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. Wow. You guys, sometimes life feels like that. Sometimes we think of the fact that God is faithful if he makes my life nice. Right? We go, God, you're faithful if you'll take away my pain. You'll take away all the knucklehead people in my life. You'll make everything right, and then I can tell you you're faithful. But it doesn't always work that way. He is faithful no matter what because he has something bigger going on. He cares more about my character than he does about my comfort. He is trying to make me something new. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Wow, he's reaching bottom here. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood, this bitterness, and the gall, which is another bitter substance. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. I'm losing hope, is what he's saying. But I love verse 21 because the word, the key word of all the scriptures is the word but. Circle it. But. No matter how much this is true, no matter how much I'm struggling, no matter how much has gone on in my life that I'm having a hard time with in the pain and the difficulty, but this I call to mind. And you think, well, what's that? So let's just draw a little arrow down to this box. Inside this box is what he's going to call to mind, to have us remember, to have us engage, to have us hold on to. And before we do that, look at this. It says, but this I remember, I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The very thing that he seems to have lost or was losing in the midst of this. And therefore I have hope. Well, let's look what's there. Here's what I have hope. The steadfast, hesed love of the Lord never ceases. You guys, I know sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but it doesn't mean that it's not true. And when you say the God's love for me, his steadfast love never ceases. You stand by faith in hope, right? His mercies never come to an end, ever. They are new every morning. Wow, is that amazing? Every morning the sun comes up and his mercies are new. Every day. Tomorrow it's going to come up again, just so you know. It's come up for a lot of days in a row. I think we're going to continue. We're setting records all the time. You know, it's going to come up tomorrow and his mercies are going to be new again. Why? Because you're such a great person? No. Now, are you a horrible person? No. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it comes up. Why? Because he's God. Because this is who he is. This is what he chooses. This is what he does. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great, let's grab it. Great is your faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. And he finishes by saying, the Lord is my portion, says our soul. Therefore, I will hope in him because of who he is and what he's doing. So let me just wrap it up with this. God has been, is, and will be faithful to each of us. So let me just ask you, tell us about it. Tell us about it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite you to come up, stay 6 feet apart, lined up that direction. Do not touch this microphone. I will send you a bill if you do. And I want you to tell us where God has been faithful to you. Where has God been faithful? How, when, where? Or maybe you're in the middle of a time where you feel like Lamentations. And you're banking on his faithfulness, but it's hard. Now, some stories can maybe go for a long time, and we don't have a long time, maybe. But I'd like you guys to wiggle your way through these chairs and come up and maybe tell you where God has been faithful. And I asked Diane, she told me a story not too long ago, that I asked her if maybe she'd kick us off. So I'm going to invite my wife, thank you. And then you guys, if you'd share, just go ahead and line up down here. Thanks, babe.
Well, good morning. I'm Diane, and I was asking Kevin this week what the sermon was going to be about, and he told me it's going to be about God's faithfulness. So I told him a story that impacted me more than 30 years ago. It goes back, but it was a powerful, made a difference in my life. I still remember it. At that point in life, Kevin and I were working at the University of Southern California with CREW, a ministry to college students. Go Trojans, I see one in the audience there. And we were in the midst of our infertility years, where we were trying to conceive, and it was not happening. And we went through that for about 4 years, and that was a really painful time for me. I felt a lot of loss. I felt inadequate. I felt really sad, a lot of grief about that. And God met me in his faithfulness in so many ways. One of them was a gal named Denise. She and I worked together on campus. And I think Denise has a gift of mercy, because she would sit with me and listen to me, and she really helped me process my emotions. I was in my late 20s, and I didn't want to know what to do with all this pain, and she was definitely a gift of God's faithfulness. But I actually heard another story. I went to a conference with CREW. We went to a lot of conferences on staff with CREW, and I heard a speaker who told her story, and it's really her story I'm going to share with you. She and her husband went through years of infertility, and I think longer than we did, 4 years, and she told the story eloquently, and never conceived. And then, in addition, they tried to adopt, and they went through many years of that process, trying to adopt a child, and God never gave him a child. And what she said to us, she looked at us in the audience, and she said, was God any less faithful to me? And she said, no, I declare that God is faithful to me, even though he didn't give me my heart's desire and what I wanted. And that was powerful for me at that time, because I was in that, you know, I was struggling with that. And it was an altar moment for me. And I had to decide if God never let us have children, if I would still declare that he's good and that he's faithful. And it was really impactful for me. And it helped me switch my thinking from God is faithful when I get what I want, to God is faithful. And it was very powerful for me. So I told Kevin this story, and then the danger is he asked me to come up and share it with you. So I want to invite you all to come up and tell your stories. If you're downstairs, please come up and join us. And don't forget your name. So So if God is nudging you, come on up and tell your story about how he's been faithful to you. Oh, I'm sorry. I should have said, we did end up adopting 3 children. God gave us children, and he did it through adoption. And that was a huge blessing. But he would have been faithful even if he hadn't. So anyway, come on up and share your stories.
Or not. Kathy.
Well, in regards to children, that's interesting that you mentioned that. It got me to thinking. I married very early. I was 19. I didn't want kids at first, and for 5 years, we didn't worry about it. But then I began to want children. And my ex-husband didn't want children at the time. And so in the meantime, we went into business, went into a car sale business and a real estate business. And that was after he'd been in the pastorate for 8 years. So it was a very hard time. And after about 3 years, the business started going down very badly, really badly. And in that fall, I became pregnant, but the business was dying. And there was no money, and there was overdrafts every day. It was a really, really hard time. This was back in 86. And finally, it came to Christmas, and there was no money for Christmas presents. But I was pregnant 4.5 months long. But it was just so hard to wake up on Christmas morning with no Christmas presents. I'd been so used to having Christmas presents on Christmas morning. And we went over to my mother-in-law and father-in-law's house, and we had to pretend that everything had been fine. And as I sat down to dinner that day, I was like, where's my present? And all of a sudden, I felt the baby move. And that was my Christmas present. So God was faithful.
Thank you, Kathy.
Well, this story begins in 2001 when my PSA went up. I was on a study at Wash U, had a biopsy, and it showed that my prostate was atypical. Not precancerous, not cancerous, but atypical. So from 2001 until 2 years ago, I had 7 more biopsies over the years. My PSA kept going up. But 2 years ago, instead of biopsy, I did an MRI, and it was negative. But last month, I had another MRI that indicated I probably had cancer. And so in September, I had a biopsy that did, in fact, show that I had prostate cancer. And beginning in February, I started radiation for 9 weeks, 5 days a week. I prayed that it wouldn't have an adverse effect on me as far as my work. So every day for 9 weeks, 5 days a week, I would go at 9:15 in the morning and have radiation. Be through by 9:30, put on my coveralls and go to work. And through all of that, I felt peace. I just felt that God was going to get me through that. Then in June, I had my annual physical and did the PSA again, and it was less than 0.1 after being up to 14, and anything above 4 is a concern, certainly. And people would sometimes ask me, how can you be so calm? And sometimes they would even ask Fred Lois, is he really that calm about this? But I was, and I've met with my urologist, my primary care physician, and my radiation oncologist since then. I asked my radiation oncologist what was going to be the follow-up, and he said, there is no follow-up for you. My urologist asked me, when are you having a follow-up with the radiation oncologist, whose name is Dr. Dunn? I said, well, Dr. Dunn says, I'm done with him.
Obviously, most of you know that I had the coronavirus. I got very sick and ended up on the ventilator for about a week. So I'd be remiss not to stand here and not celebrate God's faithfulness. Thank you. Obviously, he's faithful because he brought me back. The thing I wanted the most, laying in a bed by myself, feeling like I was facing death in the face, was would God take care of my family, my children, my husband? And, you know, I feel like I got my answer because I think of what all of you have done for me and for my family. What you did for my family in the midst of our crisis, and I saw that through the care that was given to my family. And when I walked into my home after surviving this and seeing what people had done with the boxes of diapers and wipes and the food that was stored in my home to take care of my family, I saw God's faithfulness, that if he would have still chosen to take me home, he would have been faithful to me in caring for my family.
I hate COVID. I wanted to give her a hug. You guys, here's what we've been saying this morning, I think, is that we can have hope because of the faithfulness of God. His mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness is always there. His steadfast, hesed love is a constant. And sometimes we see the end results, and sometimes we're in the middle of it. We're struggling through it. Sometimes there's absolute joy and praise, like out of Psalm 100, right? And sometimes in Lamentations 3, there's an incredible angst in the human heart that we struggle through, but at the end of all of them. But this we will keep in mind, and it results in hope that his steadfast love and his faithfulness to us is real. It's in his character. It's who he is. He's reliable. He's consistent. He is present. So to lean into those arms. We wish life was a perfect little piece of cake, right? But it's not. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's hard. But God is faithful. And I don't announce that so that you feel better about life. I say that so that you have hope. And it's not based on me, it's based on him. It's based on his nature, his character, it's his word. He gives hope. If today you're feeling like you've lost hope, I'd say both lean into his arms, into the body of Christ, that we're here for each other, to help each other through this, right? Wherever, whenever it might be. In the midst of this corona chaos, that's what I call it, life still happens. Other things still happen. Let's not do it in isolation. Let's do it together, okay? All right. You guys, I want you to walk out these doors this morning. I already told you. I want you to walk out feeling hope because God is faithful to you. No matter what's going on, he is faithful. And we can tell a world that he is faithful because they need to know so that they have hope too. All right? Let's pray. Father, we come before you. Because at the end of the day, we've spent most of our time and our energies trying to fix life. Run around and try to manipulate or coerce or whatever it is to try to fix life. And sometimes we're not so bad at it. Sometimes we're not so good. And a lot of times we're just terrible. We make it worse. So, Father, we come to speak to you because you are faithful. You are able. And that you have this incredible chesed love that burns inside of you for the love of mankind in each one of us by name. Father, thank you for meeting all of us in these places. Thank you for what you did in Diane's life. And Hyatt, the deepest desire of her heart that was broken. Father, thank you too for this unique gift you gave Kathy on a Christmas when it was pretty sparse, and this baby moves. We're grateful too for what you did in Thomas's life, and that his cancer and all the readings are so low that they can't even find him hardly. Father, for your faithfulness in Gina's world, for your presence in that room when she was on a ventilator. But Father, those situations are true in every one of our lives, whether spoken or unspoken. Those are all true in each one of us. And Father, we praise you for your faithfulness. We thank you. We also recognize it and we bank on it because some of the things we're going through are not solved yet. They haven't come to an end. We're in the midst of it. And I pray that your faithfulness would uphold and strengthen every person in this room. And whatever they're going through and whatever it is, would you touch their lives with your faithfulness? And may they lean into you with all they have. Father, thank you that you like broken people, that you love broken people, because that's us. And so we say thank you. We say thank you because of the reality that Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the fact that he really did come and live and die and rise again, it's coming back. There's no other name under heaven that makes any sense to pray under. Because we can't earn our way to you, and so you gave him to come to us. And so it's because of his role in our lives that we pray in his name, and we give you praise. Amen. All right, you guys. May God be found faithful in your life this week. Okay?